Note.
So it's a pleasure for me to introduce Joshua Schachter. When I got to know him, was a quant on Wall Street, working for Morgan Stanley. And I remember the first time we had dinner was at the then called V's in the Times Warner building, I think. And he told me about his thoughts of maybe leaving Morgan Stanley, who made lots of money by being a trader, and doing something, you know, some social bookmarking stuff on the web, which I wasn't really familiar. And since you asked before here, you know, why would anybody do this? I wasn't all that convinced. But then it turned out that he knew some of my papers in corporate finance, so I was a good guy after all. And now, 2 years later, everyone in the world knows Joshua Schachter. Joshua is so delicious to December, I think, like what is it, 15 months ago, and has since been at Yahoo, bought a nice place in Palo Alto, and wants to talk to us about whatever basically you're interested in. So we talked on the phone yesterday for maybe half an hour and we came up with some topics, but I think I told him a little about delicious stage deals.
Yeah, I didn't really prepare anything. It was more of a question and answer kind of thing. Who uses Delicious already or has heard of it? Okay. So Delicious is a online bookmarking system so that people can save things they've liked or might want to retrieve in the past. Are you bringing this in?
I just take notes here, so I can bring it. I showed it to people already.
Gotcha. Okay. So basically it allows you to save items that you found. Which we'll recall later. It was designed initially to be.
Can we get a second microphone? Just continue.
Okay. It was designed initially to be a way to save stuff for yourself, and then the social effects were secondary. You know, past the initial use.
Take mine while they try to find one.
Sure. And I built it originally partially because I had a lot of links to save, but also because I wanted an interesting data set to, you know, to analyze, right? I spent a lot of time dealing with stock data and you know, it's another, a different kind of interesting, but at the end of the day, you know, a lot less a lot more noise and a lot less signal. So I sort of built it to have an interesting data set to play with. So let's see, what did we want to cover today? Do you remember?
So what I wrote in the class blog is some interesting facts about Delicious. So one question which I think people have is really how much do tags overlap with the question of whether we should recommend tags. So I think the more hard facts you have,
gotcha.
Because only you have those, the more interesting I think it is to people to just, you know, get some reality.
So we've got, we passed about 2 million users in February this year, and about 180 million bookmarks. On average, it's just under 2 tags per bookmark for items that people type in by hand rather than anything algorithmic. People put in on average about 30 to 40 per week for a normal user. The active users are significantly more active, can do hundreds a week.
And how do you find the 50 percentile, or do you take
the median?
Median.
So not
median.
Not average. Yeah, yeah.
50 bookmarks a week.
Yes.
So 50 pages get labeled.
Yes. And usually roughly 2 tags. On a given item. Now, something like 90% of the bookmarks in the system are bookmarked only a single time. The remaining 10% is bookmarked many times. I think the top most bookmarked individual link is something like 30,000 or so times.
And that's Delicious itself, preferentially.
That's the register page on Delicious, that's the page that people got the bookmarks, the bookmarklets, a little bit of JavaScript from. But I believe Google, Slashdot, Yahoo, and Amazon are all the way up there. In terms of aggregate across the domains, I believe it's something like Again, it's Yahoo, Amazon, Wikipedia, and I forget the fourth one, which is relatively stable over time, actually. On average, when many people have bookmarked an item, so for an item with 10 marks, it's usually pretty stable that the agreement is that half of the users will converge on some term.
Ah.
50%.
So your rule is that for items marked by 10 or more users, half of them have one word in common.
Right. And in fact, significantly more agreement actually tends to indicate spam.
Ah. Makes sense.
Right, so they're trying to boost the relevance of some term around some point, so...
So those of you who are spammers, oh, wait, media out in the word there, create somebody like, you know, typos in terms.
a lot of the research and the analysis of typical behavior is motivated by being able to pick out anomalous behaviors. So for spam and other abuse. So that's where a lot of this, you know, what are the average number of tags a given user uses? You know, because users tend to converge, they tend to have a relatively limited set of terms that they use, and it doesn't actually change much over time. Users tend to have a roughly consistent number of tags, although some users are heavy taggers, some users are light taggers. They tend to be roughly stable over time.
Sorry, this isn't like Slashdot or Google. Are you actually referring to the results page?
The actual top level page. So the individual pages are bookmarked, I think, 30,000 times. And various sites have, in aggregate, lots more bookmarks. So like Amazon, where Amazon puts junk in the UI, for example, they put like the session ID. Every single bookmark, for the most part, stands alone. So they have something like half across the entire site, maybe, you know, 750,000 different bookmarks of all different kinds of things. It's very difficult to actually see what the bubble up items are from them, just because of the way they treat the URL.
We had actually one question before, which was www.blue.com versus jetblue.com.
Yeah.
Are treated as two different entities.
Right now, we don't do any folding. In the future, we will. So, and you roughly see, you know, people will. It's interesting because you can sort of use that kind of stuff to see how URLs are getting out there. You can frequently add query parameters and URL fragments. That's the stuff after the question mark or after the hash mark. And you can see how people copy and forward links because you can sort of tag them in the wild in some sense. So you'll frequently see, one site become popular and the www dot and without the w dot become popular exactly the same. So the memes travel together in some sense. That's actually a fairly difficult problem. But, you know, it's difficult to actually come up with a normalization scheme that keeps a valid URL. It's something we're working towards in Delicious 2, but is understandably difficult. Let's see, what else? You had some other questions, if I recall.
I think I'm always interested in dynamic behavior over time. So, for instance, users. What you learn when you do e-commerce is it doesn't mean much if a person buys once from your site. But if they buy twice, it's relatively stable behavior. So the point is to spend money on people to buy for the second time. I'm curious how many people and just once tag something and forget it. And then I'm curious versus the people who actually do it again and again. And I'm wondering how that percentage, if you take a certain cohort of people signed up, say, January 2006 versus people signed up January 2007, how that number changes over time.
So we found that a fair chunk of users, about a third of the users who signed up first, would actually manage to bookmark anything. Right, so the bookmarklets were relatively difficult and finicky at all. So about a third, and then of those guys, people who were using it in week one, about a third of them in week two. Right.
So one third of people who sign up.
Right. These are the old stats. Right. So
actually managed to get the system to work on one URL.
Right, and then of those. One folks were actually still using the system a week later, right? But if we had them a week later, we kept them, right? So the drop-off after that was negligible. More recently, in the past year, we have actually switched a lot of our distribution is through a browser plugin. It's a lot easier for users to get installed, so they tend to be much more active and much more engaged in the system. So activity rates are much, much higher.
A little bookmark that I have is that you consider difficult, or is that easy?
It's more difficult to install than currently. We have a Firefox extension, something like 1 million loads and installs. One of the problems had always been in the past phrasing the activity. You know, not only was it to explain to the user why they might want this, right? Because many users, they bookmark their. You know, this is the behavior with Yahoo bookmarks, right? They'd upload their 10 sites and then they were good, right? So millions of users, or millions of users that have zero activity on average, right? So these, you know, the delicious demographic was users who are, you know, tend to be swimming in a lot of information, that they see lots and lots of sites, papers, URLs, you know, all kinds of different things, right? So the target demographic was somewhat different than people who just have their, you think, here's my, you know, whatever, I'm done, I'm good. And that's why, you know, somewhat of an impedance mismatch with bookmarks, because it's not really, you know, just bookmarks, it's more of a trail, right? The sort of thing we've been thinking about now is sort of the hierarchy of memory within the browser and on the web, right? You know, you can store exactly one thing in your home button. You can store, you know, 10 things in the bookmarks toolbar. You can store, you know, however much vertical space, different items, modulo your ability to categorize into folders and so on, right? So Delicious is designed so that because you can very easily via search and via tagging and so on, you know, all the various hints, that you can actually store, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of items in there with really little pain. And so that the actual... I guess the perceived cost of saving something is as low as possible, so that people save many, many items, right? So that they, there's not a particularly large chance that they expect to retrieve those. The thing that you put in home, the home button on the browser, is something you expect to return to again and again and again and again and again, right? So I still use that for my stuff. I use Delicious for the stuff that this is interesting. Maybe I'll want this again.
So do you think that the, you know, comic Wall Street, the signaling character, is one which many people use, showing the world what they're interested in? Or is it the second mode, just, you know, I want to retrieve it better? And the third one is, hey, you know, I just see it and I probably do it again. So on this spectrum here, where do you think, what's the distribution?
I think it's a very, very, you know, it's split between it's a very low rate, but also that they want other people to see these things that they thought they were interesting, right? So in some sense, it's sort of a very lightweight sort of blog. So some, you know, one just under publishing, you know, less of an intent to actually share personally. And we actually go to some lengths to people aren't reminded that there are other people in the system when they're saving things, right? So it doesn't say, you know, if you click save and it said, oh, well, 13,000 other people this item. You know, when we tried that out, the response was frequently, oh, I didn't save that because I didn't want to seem like an idiot, something that everyone else had already found, right? So, you know, and again, since it's designed to be personal memory, it's, you know, I don't want to take, don't want to scare people off from wanting to save something and then being told, oh, well, you know, you're late, right? So they won't save it. So we don't show those things. It'll be interesting to see what it's like, because I frequently like to see, oh, this is interesting, am I first to discover it? You know, that's something that users are very interested in. So, you know, I mean, it's very interesting. When we, on the Delicious page itself, it actually says the number of users who have saved an item already, right? And initially, I've always hated that little section. I wanted to take it away for a long time. And I think about a year and I took it off. I figured, you know, it's we don't really need the actual number. If it's a big number, they don't need to know exactly how big it is. It's just they need to get an impression of the size of it. Is it 1,000 or 1,010? It doesn't matter. So I just showed a little log bar graph with the item, right? But it turned out that the interest for the users is not just popularity, how popular are the things that they've saved, but how exclusive they are. so that when you save one thing, one other person has saved it. They're pretty fascinated by that. That's a turns out to be a powerful discovery mechanism, right? So it's not the they're interested in the ways they're like other people that lots of people are alike, right? That they're interested in the ways that they are other that no one else is alike, which is an interesting distinction.
That actually is very interesting, that if you find a page nobody has, you probably think, you know, they marked it in a different word or something like this.
Think about it in terms of a recommender. You have to normalize out the very common pivots, right?
Yeah.
Because you do anything, right? So similarly, people sort of instinctively understand that.
Now, you deliberately did not build in architect faction. So I can't hit up somebody and say, hey, cool, you also bookmarked that in that page. You have two so far.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems is that I think that if you create a place to talk about, it leads to it's a very interesting potential for the conversation. But the other hand, if there's no conversation there, or if the one person can something and no one ever responds to them, that's actually a fairly negative experience, right? So what's it? Like I said, there's about 80 million URLs bookmarked. Right, a lot of them only by a single person, which means a lot of things in the system are not all that interesting to everybody. So there are ways in the system to already watch what your friends are doing through the network. So even though there are ways to see what a lot of this stuff is only covered by one person. So that means a lot of this place is sort of lonely, right? So I didn't want to build like a town that's going by and whatever. So that's on the positive side. On the negative side, it also leads to a lot of opportunity to and bad interactions and so on and so forth, right? So stuff like Wikipedia, which is a very nice system, is not actually a very nice social system. I don't know if anyone's edited Wikipedia or got into a flame war. I mean, it's every single page on Wikipedia is sort of an ongoing flame war, and I didn't want to build it for that kind of system, right? So, I mean, our intern was in, we user number 20, which was this... She's in college now, but she was a high school student, and we had an intern. She was doing customer support when we were at the startup. And one day at Yahoo over lunch, she was saying she had created the wiki for harps, right? Harpists or whatever. And I think, which is a relatively uncontroversial topic. And people would send in they'd put little notes on the talk page, and she'd edit it up. And then one day the Scottish harpists and the Irish harpists started arguing over who invented the harp. And apparently it's now an ongoing edit war, and has been several times and so on and so forth. So given architecture participation, how do you construct things such that people can't fight over it? Imagine a more contentious way actually saying taking two opposite sides and say, okay, you can both stomp each other's tech, and you have to arrive at a consensus somehow just think about it. It's very painful. So while this is a lovely product, the actual social system underlying it is actually quite painful. So I'm trying to avoid building a system where you can actually have interactions, right? You're entitled to your own opinion. You have your own space to put your notes, and otherwise you have to aggregate to see what it's like and consolidate.
But in that user segment that is interested in sharing with the world their bookmarks, how do you see Glitch as more interactive than sites like Dig or?
But Dig is not the same kind of thing, right? Dig is much more sharing and discovery oriented. It's all really about saving, right? So they both produce a link with some text underneath it, and much like a search engine as well. And we frequently get compared. But for example, Kevin Rose, who runs Dig, also uses Delicious. Right, so I think there could be a more interesting sharing aspect to Delicious, but we're focusing on memory as sort of the use and the utility of the thing. Delicious on a bad day, I think, gets 500,000 new URLs, right? Or half a million URLs in general.
A new or
No.
Added.
Yeah, added.
Non-unique.
On a good day, I think Dig gets 5,000 to 10,000 new URLs. Right, so it's because of the difference in structure, because of the difference in purpose of the thing, there's sort of vastly different behaviors. They do when on popular and all that, where we look what's the most popular items of that day, the product looks very similar, but for us that's actually not a huge portion of that. Something like 8 or 10% of the whole is that.
So earlier on, Andreas said that you don't really public tags, all tags. I mean, you don't have private tags, all tags are public.
No, we have privacy now.
By now we do. Okay.
Yeah. So you can very, very little. I mean, that was one of the difficult things. The MyWeb, Yahoo MyWeb, which is a private activity, folks sit right next to us. I guess it's the same team now. And one of the big fears about adding public private status was that everything would go private, right? So very little of our stuff is actually saved privately.
Bury it like 73 layers down at the bottom. So if I want to tag a page or save this here, if I hit on save this, I wasn't aware that I have the option of.
Yeah, you don't. You haven't turned it on.
I know. I wasn't aware that
the older users, the interface didn't change. So you can go to settings and turn it on for the very old users. But the idea was that we did not want to. Well, you know, people are very. You know, people are very sensitive. I mean, if you asked, I was at a talk with Stuart Butterfield, who found one of the founders of Flickr the other day, and said that when they changed the interface to Flickr, the first time they got the email along the lines of "I had a very difficult childhood, and I don't tolerate change well. Please don't change the UI." They thought it was kind of funny, and then the next 300 times. So we're relatively sensitive about not changing things around, you know, piecemeal. But anyway, we were very careful to actually change specification. If we said, "Do you want this item make private or something?" Privacy as a sort of concept is a positive thing. Yes, I would, you know, whatever you're doing, if you would like it to be more private, right? So we were very careful to actually call it, I think it's don't share, which has
yes.
a faint negative aspect to it, right? Oh, you're not sharing, why don't you share your toys? Or whatever it is, right? So as opposed to keep that a secret, which is very negative, or make this private, which is very positive, a faintly negative term. Anyway, let's see what else, was there another one?
What is the so called malicious? If it's advertisement, wouldn't the messaging system, regardless of negative messaging or positive messaging, increase a page view, which in turn?
The business model is not to increase page views, right? It's allow the users to create the interesting and discoverable corpus of links, right? So in some sense, it's more to be a human powered team, right? So we want the most data annotated, we want the most data shared publicly, so that we can figure out how this impacts search and how, you know. So anything that causes less migration to the system, such as advertising, is a negative.
So one point to make here is that there clearly is a trade-off that if you had all the, you know, comments anybody knew on their personal computer about anything, then you would have a huge data set, but people would not be able to really leverage that. So you people contribute if it's public, but they see what other people have as well, and you have some collective phenomenon emerging if you set up right.
I mean, you have to see it as sort of externalities to the transaction, right? You know, just like in, say, the stock market, an individual transaction being public is not a positive thing for either of the parties, but it's better for the world at large because the information about that, the information gained by that transaction is a good thing, right? So the vast majority of the things that you save are of no consequence and can be shared publicly because, you know, no one cares. It's not a negative thing for you to actually have saved something publicly, right? It's just, you know, when you're saving your porn or whatever, right? So, you know, it makes the system better in some sense. Now, we don't tell people it's an altruistic thing that you have to annotate the world for us. It's there for you to use as you like. So we don't tell them how to do it, but it's hinted and in a direction such that that people are encouraged to share. It's soft viral, right? So people find it useful and then tell other people about it. We already run a capacity all the time. We're continually ordering hardware. And if it hadn't been for Yahoo, which has a bunch of scaling technologies that we've had access to otherwise, I don't know where we'd be right now, right? We went from 300,000 users in December 2005 to 1 million users in September of 2006. Right, so in 10 months, 3x growth, right? And then from this, from September of 2006 to February of 2007, we went from 1 million to 2 million, so doubled again in 5 months. So it, the growth is actually pretty vigorous, right? We have a lot of trouble, actually. Who's on the, sorry.
So what's the plan to go and go from this to get to sort of like computable view, like a semantic web, to do computer over this data set? I assume you think your intention to do it in this one in some future.
Well, when people say semantic web, I'm not too sure. I mean, what are you talking about here specifically? I mean,
something where you can do computations over various other items and sort of algorithmically find a way, as opposed to having to have an individual say, oh, I think this link is the one I'm going to follow, and this link means the same as other links, all the www part, which eventually will allow me to figure out something I want to know about airplanes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that that's what semantic web bling about when they talk about semantic web stuff, right? That's more about normalized databases and RDF, which seems to be a very sort of world, right? This is more about, you know, you can make some inferences about the data and you know, recommendation or relationships or whatever, but it's more about, I think, it just plain old information retrieval, right? So we're already looking at how to use the search and how this interacts with search, right? Especially given that the strength that Delicious has in terms of gathering and the weaknesses that search has in terms of recent relevance and short-term ranking. About 20% of it is international. We haven't actually internationalized the product yet. We're working on this. It's actually quite difficult because there's two or three things. Here has one or more languages that they can read, right? If they're not American, I suppose. The document may be in multiple languages, or at least some, you know. So you could have a French speaker bookmarking an English page, and what's that mean? So each save actually has two potential languages that go with it, right? So if you're a French speaker, are you interested in documents that are in French, or are you interested in that are saved by other French speakers? Is it different from, you know, is a Quebecois interested in things that someone in Paris is or not? So there's actually a bunch of different difficult problems there to solve, at least on a, you know, just on the retrieval side, on the categorization side. I mean, we have relatively good tools for actually language guessing, basically, based on the actual text of the page. So it's just fairly difficult to figure out, to present something that they'd be interested in, you know, based on the information we have about the user. Typically, probably through whatever page, you know, if we do Delicious or whatever. So.
Do you know how much people look at the tags other people give to pages? So what is the dynamics there? You said that an individual has a fairly finite vocabulary, how they describe their world.
Well, three things when they bookmark items, right? First thing is the recommended tags, which is actually not a recommendation system of any sort. It's actually just the intersection of their tags and other users' tags, right? So if another user bookmarks something with that tag more than once, we'll actually show that at the intersection of those tags and your own tags. It's basically other people that have the same terms as you will...
So if I, for instance, go to slashdot.org here, and I want to tag it.
Right, so the recommended tags, a bunch of people have terms, blog, computer, cool, etc., and so have you. Right, so that's where it gets those. Your network is tall, and then popular tags is just the top six or seven tags, or I forget what the metric is exactly, on that items that other people have used. So like I said, about half of everybody has agreed that that it's news, and then, you know, falling from.
I may have missed something, but if you have 2 million users and 30 to 40 URLs per week, how do you get to 180 million?
Imports also. They import their old bookmarks into the system. So a lot of people have actually quite substantial...
So I got the numbers right here, that it is 180 million overall pages. Type token distinction.
Yeah.
180 million types and tokens and 80 million
units.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you said a good number comes through importing.
I have a question about the initial few weeks after the first product launch. Specifically, how did you get about sort of getting to people, getting this product in front of people, and if sort of if you adopted based on the feedback?
I just put it out there, right? I put RSS on every single piece of the system so that people who wanted to continue to pay attention to some part of it could do so relatively easily, and that played well with the audience. We put out a lot of stuff so that Delicious could post to blogs automatically, so your bookmarks for the day could go up. We could, let's see, there was that. There's JSON badges. There's all kinds of interaction with systems, its own, you know, lots of ways that people could actually connect up, right? APIs, the Save This button. I'm sure you've seen it on plenty of news sites. So we basically just tried to figure out every way that data could come into or go out of the system and tried to build that for people, right? API usage is something like we do several million hits a day, maybe 10 plus million hits a day in just API usage, and then again in RSS traffic alone. So I would say that those two things are huge drive system, right? That it's basically any functionality that people couldn't build, they could build on top of, you know, or a great deal of it. Connecting up to the systems that they already had, you know, being aware that there are other systems out there and playing nice with them, more valuable. Importing and exporting of your bookmarks, so you know the users could take their ball and go home in some sense. All of those built in.
What do you see the correlation between people who publish ads and people who blog? Is it like if I very active of updating ads, I'm more likely to write a blog, or that this is another way for people to writing, but just to publish ads to get their opinions across?
Initially, there was more overlap. It's the audiences have diverged. Delish had to a less techie audience significantly. Early on, I guess about a year ago, O'Reilly, who runs O'Reilly Media, does this presentation at pretty much every conference. But it's basically, before something becomes hot, or when something becomes hot, they have to have a book on the shelves for that thing. So they have to start 18 months beforehand. So one of the things is that, you know, they have this whole set of different data analysis tools, data gathering things. And one of the things that I done early on was a way to see the relative frequency of tags in the system, right? So is C++ going on, right? And because Delicious is continually growing, everything goes sort of up and to the right. So you have to normalize a bit, right? So one of the things that I did, the initial was to normalize against the total number of bookmarks every day, right? So what percentage of bookmarks today were tagged to C++ versus last quarter or Java? And what are the relative metrics? And what I found, my initial naive normalization, was that everything was sort of down, like Ajax or something was managed to fight the curve. But everything was down, and that was really a reflection of tech being just sort of being drowned out by people bookmarking, you know, lots of educational stuff and papers and technical stuff in general. So I think that in general the audience has grown over time. Specifically, how many people have blogs? I haven't measured. Less people do fill in the URL field now than they used to. Right, there is a place to put your domain or your URL, I guess, to your blog page or whatever it would be. Unless people fill it in now.
I want to push again on the social system aspect, because I think that is a very, very, you know, important one to set it up such that actually things happen the right way. Give us some more stories about that.
I mean, it's just sort of a general understanding of second order effects, right? There's a bunch of stuff. I mean, our users write in all, and you know, I even still read feedback at Delicious on the BlackBerry, just so we can tell when we've done something terribly wrong. People ask for the same things again and again, some of which are, you know, of relatively painless consequences. Like, for example, there's a set of features that people sort of, the way they sort of understand the world and how software works, and when your software is missing that or does it differently, tend to ask for it. For example, people want to alphabetize in Delicious all the time, which is not something that they actually will do if we give it to them, because there's tagging. but they look for it anyway. So the things that people want, right, are the top three things are that, and because, you know, I get tired of saying, you know, no. But then people also ask for what are the top popular marketer, right? And, you know, and can publishers pre-fill out a field on the little buttons on the other websites, you know, when you save to Delicious and it takes you to Delicious and lets you save thing, the publishers want to pre-fill in the tags. And of course, a publisher is not going to be, have the same set of incentives that the reader does. They want maximum distribution. The reader wants to be able to recall something, right? So, and then for the top most bookmarked items ever, right? If you put up a high score list, someone will try to get on it, right? So that will deeply incent people to misbehave to get on it, right? So while the motivations for all three of these things are sort of personal utility or personal interest or at least perceived utility, the second order effects of some of them, of the latter two that I mentioned, are actually negative for the system as a whole. So how you're going to do something, why someone might want to use that, and then how it affects people down the line, right? So for example, when you save the bookmark thing, it showed the popular tags at the farthest away visually from the bookmark, from the actual type place you type in the tags, right? And that's by intention, because I don't want to have other people's opinion of something dominate your opinion of something, right? So your opinion of the thing is much more likely to be your initial instinct on how to recall something later rather than other people's things. So we put it there because it's useful, but I don't want it to dominate. I move it a little bit away, right? So it's the second order effects that tend to dominate in many transactions, because the, you know, like you said, it comes back a second time, right? And if it's something you want them to come back many, many, many times, you have to be careful, because soon the second order effects dominate.
Actually, I use the term too, but I'm not sure everybody knows what we mean by second order effects. Do you want to?
The first order effects are consequences of your actions. Second order effects are the consequences of the consequences of your actions, right? So, you know, the order effect of putting the popular tags right next to the tag entry field would be that tag convergence would be higher. The second order effect is that people would not necessarily find stuff quite as much.
Is there any integration between Google and Delicious? Is there any synergy?
We use Yahoo technologies and platforms. We're actually rebuilding now to more thoroughly integrate with the Yahoo platform. But like for share logins currently, we're working on using Yahoo Search actually as a search engine for Delicious rather than the clunky thing we have currently. So that's something we're definitely working on. You know, since it's always sort of fire drill mode, it's been very difficult to do long-term planning in general.
How do you monetize Delicious? You know, post ads?
We don't directly.
Charge for opening
accounts? No. It's to improve search, right? So we're not hyper worried about monetizing it.
Like how? Indirectly?
Through improving search.
So as a second order effect, so to speak.
But that's because you're now part of Yahoo, right?
Right.
Before, when you're in any...
We would have put ads all over it, probably. So.
When you created the company, were you thinking eventually Yahoo or Google would be interested?
Not really. I mean, I don't think that if you build a company, the idea that someone will buy you, it's really sets you up for a good direction, you know, because it also can't happen. As of the acquisition, we had had a term sheet for a second. And if other companies hadn't come calling, we would have gone on that way.
So we have about 3 minutes left. We go offline here. Do you want to give us your vision of the future? I mean, tagging is an expression of attention. And in that sense, it's more precious than just clicks, which also an expression of attention, but you don't think as deeply about clicking on something.
A little bit more refined, sure.
Yeah. Where will this go?
I mean, I think that what I would like to see is sort of the browser, I think, is a sort of very primitive tool, right? The only change between, say, Firefox and the original, Mosaic, is that these tabs, basically, right? And, you know, CSS, and but we haven't seen actually a lot of change in the actual interface of the thing, right? So I would like to see a sort of more social sort of browser. You know, I mean, if you want to share something, you know, modulo things like Delicious, which does it, I think, in a very, you know, sort of clunky way, you know, it, you basically copy the URL. You have to turn the page into a little bit of text, into a pointer, and paste it into an IM or an email and send it off to somebody, which I don't think is a very vibrant way of doing these things, right? So, you know, imagine if, I mean, there's all different kinds of things where you could actually sort of combine people and pages, right? The other side of it is, I think that now, a lot more so than before, pages actually represent people, right? So Facebook and MySpace and so on and so forth are sort of identity, which is also something that isn't really a part of the web, right? So these two sort of directions, right? The two things in different directions, I think, are undercurrents on the web that we sort of build with what we have, but are not atoms. In the sort of the model that we have, right? So identity and it's not sort of taken into account by the actual grain of how these things are made, right? So I think in the future, you'll see stuff where the browser and the protocols and the stuff actually understands these things a little bit more directly, and you're able to build stuff, you know, so that people build a web app, you don't start with, okay, how will I do authentication? How will I do cookies? How will I do sessions? You know, all these stupid things, I think that they'll be more sort of directly part of the system. Yeah, that's pretty vague. I don't know more, you have to come work in my group. Sorry.
I have one question. Where did it come from?
So in 2001, which is a couple of years before I started Delicious, .us became available, I'd already played the stupid domain name trick. I mean, my personal email, URRI.to, from when Tonga became available. And that is one of the older country domain name hacks. So I just registered it and never did anything with it. And I still made Newsweek in 1997 for that. So when .us became available, I wrote a quick little program to just chop off the last six characters of every word in the dictionary. For the ones that ended in U, which ones had the most common suffixes, and I got Ishus and Ashus, and someone else got Itchus, I-T-I-O-U-S. I got A-C-I-O-U-S also. So I got it because it was funny.
Any other final question here? Want to compare to another social system like Yahoo? Something we talked about.
Yeah,
before.
I wasn't able to get any details. Those guys were in meetings.
Yeah.
So the Yahoo Answers, which is another big social product, it's basically the same thing, but I wasn't able to dig out any good stuff. We were doing tons of page views, so you know we were basically going to put ads on it. I mean, that's the sort of model. I mean, we do a lot of page views now, so. It's definitely an interesting direction to take. I do think it would actually minimize or reduce the amount of growth that we see. So long term, it's not really a great decision. A lot of it is search engine or directed, specific tag to a specific point. When people look at things, they're interested in the thing. So it's traffic of high intent. So it monetizes.
Okay. So let's thank Joshua for coming all the way from that room. And from our blog, in preparation for us, Bill Tanzer has a regular column on Time magazine, and there's just some really good stories. So the search query on Time on the blog, as well as I pointed out before, he has the blog ilovedata.com. So I said, look through it, come up with two, three things, so you're actually prepared for what you might be telling you. Forming groups, good questions. First of all, we have the group for today, and I want one person for today's wiki, so I can send the notes I took. Who is that? Who can, okay, if you just come to the front now. The second thing is, rather than us dictatorially forming groups for the homework, you should find groups yourselves. So I said, just it's a good idea what you say. Why don't you just hang out here and try to form groups, and then it's your really your purpose.
2 to 4
people, right? So that's a very. I don't want people to do it by themselves, and more than 4 is difficult to coordinate. So, good. I will think Bill will be here next week. Thank you. I think someone first. Yeah. Let me just get the guy who I need to send it. Okay.
I've been taking some running notes as well.
That's good. Yeah, I just want to make sure you have what I sort of wrote down here. And it's just a very rough start. But it might be better than not having anything. Right?
But it seems like if each person is associated with a different model of that person.
They'll actually connect with the wiki throughout the class.
Wait. Yeah, no, I mean, the wiki is very good. I've been very impressed by how I think it's just a good way to review the class and let me turn this off here.